I wanted to give you an example relatively quickly on a spending plan. I want you to think a little bit about your children as you do this. If you don't have children, those that come, if you are a child, start thinking now, because you got to do this. So I'm a young person. I'm making $19 an hour. That is, in my math, wrong number, $39,500. And the question is, how much of that is I going to take home? How much will I put in my pocket so I can just spend it on ho-hos and chocolate bunnies? I don't know why chocolate bunnies, but, well, if you do it right, which is put 10% aside for your 401k for your retirement. Yes, you're young, I know it. You're going to retire in a short 45 years. Yes! I'd love to hear that from my son, who has 40-plus years left to work. So you want to do this. You don't have the option. I'm not going to pay for you. I will in a way, but no one's going to pay for you later on. We think we're going to get paid. We're not. They're going to have you on the street. You're not going to be paid for. So put away. The other thing that you got to account for are wonderful things like federal income tax, not to be confused with FICA, which is a combination of Social Security and Medicare, which both will increase over the next coming years. You also have to account for, I already did a 401k, so I took that out right up here. Most times you're going to pay for some medical insurance out of your pay, disability insurance out of your pay, life insurance. Hopefully you're going to take it out of your pay. By the time you get done, believe it or not, and this is a real life example, this person had subtracted $11,620, leaving them the grand sum of $27,900 per year to spend on their ho-hos and chocolate bunnies. So that doesn't leave you a whole lot of money. Where on earth, what planet is it that you don't have a spending plan to account for every penny that God has given you? What planet do we live on? Well, it certainly isn't the earth that God created. He expects us to be good stewards, period. There's no exception. Everybody needs to account for every penny. This idea that you don't know where your money's going is sinful and it's wrong. I was a little light last week, so I want to make sure I'm not light on you. This is working out super well. He should be. Yeah, you got the pastor doing it. That's great. That's what you get for yelling at us. It's going to get worse. I want you to think about it for a moment. This is a young person, single, making $19 an hour, which is pretty good pay, I think. You know, it's all right to start, right? You don't know. You're clueless. Don't nod your head, Derek.
Hey, I get earned $15 every event.
Oh, so you know. Okay, all right. All right, that's good. All right, I want him to get riled up. I want him to think about it. This is something you got to do. So you're going to start out, and it's going to be pretty straightforward. We're going to try this again. All right, that's good. Duct tape or something? Duct tape. No, I got Michael. All right. I can't help it. Now, this person's net pay is $2,500 or $2,325 per month. I'm going to show you a monthly, but this kid is paid biweekly, and I don't think he should have a monthly budget. He should have a biweekly payment plan, a spending plan, not this monthly stuff. If you get paid biweekly, then develop a plan biweekly, and I do have that plan. But for ease of illustration, I'll show you this. So this young lad, he determined right up front, he's going to give $348 for tithe offering. Now, you don't, listen, I can't do that. Okay, well, that's your business right at the moment, but if you come in my room and I'm counseling you, no longer your business. It's my business, and we're going to take it to God. We're going to develop biblical principles. And there is nowhere that I find in the scripture where you and I get to live off every penny that God has given us. Nowhere. Everywhere that I read, and we've covered this, right? There is an expectation of giving. Yeah, we can go over to Malachi, and a lot of preachers do. But I'm going to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8, 1 Corinthians, believe it or not, 8 and 9. Same, almost the same. You've got to establish a giving program, and the first priority is God. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear this. Well, I can't do it. All right, well, you're wrong, and I'll go through that later. So then we know that. Now, this young lad has housing expenses, and I'm going to pull them together. I include in housing, of course, is rent. If he doesn't have heat and electric included, that needs to be included. Water and sewage, not likely if you're renting, but if you own a house, certainly. I include cable and cell phones in the housing. You say, why do you do that? Because that's where most of it is. You're in a house, I got to have internet. Oh, I got to have internet. I must have it. Why? I must play my games. It's no longer watch TV. I must play Warrior Game 4, whatever. This one kid was bragging to me about the level of Mario Brothers he was at. He was using words, I don't even know what they meant. My son and my daughter, Zach, and, well, actually all of them, have this thing about Mario cars or whatever. And we have a version probably from early 2000 that they'll play to this day. And it's just madness. It's craziness, right? Of course, the Grazianos remember because they played the same version in our house. It's just madness. Well, this kid was bragging about the level he was at, and the internet speed that he needs is amazing. We're at terabytes now. It's amazing. Well, we got to have that. But this kid has a housing expense of $1,005 per month. His food, he did a good job of doing his food. And he has shown me that he spends $200 a month on food, which is really very good for a single individual. That's not, I don't know how he did it. He's living on ramen. I don't care. You have to eat what you can. That's it. He showed me, this is not my son, by the way. Because right away, Sue's thinking, you're talking about Zach, aren't you? No, it's not Zach. It is a young man, though. That much I'll give you. So he did it. He showed me. It wasn't the best food, but it wasn't the worst I've seen. He didn't eat out a lot. In his car, he used the Mennonite philosophy. For those of you not in that circle, he bought a used car with 100,000 miles on it or something crazy like that. Amen, right? So he's paying only $200 a month for his car. In this world, that's not even $10,000. No, he did all right. His gas, his insurance, by the way, not too bad, $120 a month. He got big deductible, you know, still. Yeah, I know you're cringing. But total, all in, his car was $490 a month. Moving on, he decided that eating out and anything else that he would do is going to be $15 a month. Wow. Yeah, where's he eating now? That, a little dated. Actually, I looked it up, and I have examples. Connie's Diner, you can still go out and eat for $15. It's breakfast, of course, and they serve it 24/7. No, you don't need a chip. You got the basic Connie's, it's Americana or something, it's breakfast. So you could do it. Clothing, he doesn't do a lot of clothing. He's Adam. That's his name. He puts 15 bucks aside per month. Savings. He does $100 a month. Yep. He's a frugal dude. He put aside additional for a doctor and dentist. Mostly dentist, I think, $40 a month. And then he does give his mother a gift, and I'll put it over here, gifts. He does do $10 a month for gifts. I always tell the, especially young men, you're getting your mother a present for Mother's Day, and you're getting her something for her birthday, and you're getting her something for Christmas. It doesn't have to be a lot, but you're doing it, so put away something for your mother. Your father doesn't care. He doesn't want it. You could get him something, but you don't need to. You get your mother something. Even if it's a stupid card, you get your mother a gift, right? Every time. So, what's that? You get your father.
Take care of your mother. That's your gift for your
father. That's your gift for your father. Exactly. So when it all in, he ends up with $102 per month extra. Now, this took a lot of work. It didn't start this way. This lad was in the hole quite a bit, and he needed to adjust his living to meet his dollars. He didn't have extra when he started. It was a disaster on wheels. So I went through it, and I have a biweekly budget, and I won't go through this, but I take him through, and I split his money between the fixed expenses, so he's got rent, heat and electric, whatever, car payments, cell phone, car insurance. I had credit cards at the time. And I just put them in the fixed. And then I added that up every biweekly, because that's how he was paid. And his biweekly pay expenses for some points in the month were $1,135 every 2 weeks. In other parts, it was $995 per 2 weeks. And in others, $285. It's different as you schedule it out. And I showed him that. I said, well, you don't pay your rent every 2 weeks, but you're going to save for it every 2 weeks. You're going to save for electric and heat and all that every 2 weeks. But when you do that, it's too much. So you move it around. You jockey it around because you're based on when you're going to pay it. Does that make sense? So I got an example you can look at, and it's back in 18. And then the other part of his pay, I put in another account. And I said, here's the deal. If you work with me on your budget, you get two accounts. The first one is for fixed expenses. Thou shalt not touch that account. You can't touch it. So he put in there every 2 weeks, $1,000 of his net pay, $235, or $2,325. And that's all. Don't touch it. Don't look at it. And everything that comes out of there, you're going to set it up automatic payment. Why? Because I don't want you to touch it. I don't want you to look at it. I don't want you to think about it. I want you just to do this and trust me, because those are the ones you got to pay. They're fixed. Then we have the variable or discretionary. Now, that includes gasoline, by the way. Household, maintenance, recreation, vacation, clothing, all those things that he's not spending every month, but he's going to spend. And you're going to stick to the plan. And then I laid that out for him. And he said, I can't do this. I said, yes, you can. You can do it. And that's why his budget for food went from $400 a month and then some down to $200 because he wasn't tracking it. He was not being a good steward. So we go through this whole thing, and then within from April 18 through April the following year, he was able to save $1,700. He came to me in the hole. Thousands. And it was all ridiculous spending. You can sit down, Mike. Ridiculous spending. And I said, now, here's the thing. You got to retire. And I told you, I have an example of this. And you have to put away 10%. And then I want you to earn 5% on that retirement money. I don't want you to, I want you to earn 5%. But I could make more. Yes, you can. You could lose more, too. I want you just to shoot for 5. So we put together a plan. I looked at his retirement offerings, and I just said, here's the options. I'm not going to force you into anything, but if you're asking me, this is what I would do, and you'll earn 5%. You see his start pay, right? $36,000. And it's 5%. And then I budgeted an increase of 3% per year on his salary. That's a very low increase. But I wanted to be conservative. So he put away 3%, or increased his pay 3% per year in his template, and he earned 5%. There's nothing hard to this, and there was a match. I had 25 cents match. Worked out pretty well. And I said, if you just please stick to this, he ends up with $983,000 at the end of his work career. And then he draws out 55% of his final pay. And he lives to the age 86 before he has a problem. It's easy. Why? It's math. It works. Now, if he gets, by the grace of God, increases more than he anticipates, and his return is slightly more than 5%, target 5%. He's going to be fine. This is what we do. This is all it is. There's a lot of yelling and crying and screaming in some cases, but you know, it's nothing more than laying it out. Last week, we talked about the basic principles to consider when developing a spending plan. And in summary, these were, since God owns it all, my spending plan should reflect His objectives, His desires, and bring Him glory. Psalm 24:1 and 1 Corinthians 10:31. We're going to give Him the glory. We're going to do what He wants with His money that He's given me. Where do you think He get it from? Derek, what would you say you're good at other than getting in trouble? What would you say you're good at?
Football. Sports.
Okay, something useful. Academic, right. But what do you like to do with your hands?
Draw.
All right, so drawings. Maybe he's going to be an architect. Maybe he's going to be an engineer. Did you have to learn how to do that? Did you just start drawing pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. It just kind of came innate. You just kind of started drawing. But then in time, you'll get some guidance and you'll learn how to control that drawing. Right? It's God-given. Each of us has something. I don't know if that's it, but that's something to start with. This is the same thing. God's giving you these gifts. And then use them, and suddenly you're making money. Doing what you like. If you're smart, you're doing something you like. And God's paying you for it. That's who makes it. He's the one who gave you the gift. He's going to honor it. This thing is driving me crazy. He's going to honor it. If He gives you a gift, and you're really good at it, and you're doing it for His glory, He's going to pay you for it. Why don't we think this way? I don't know. I knew in ninth grade I was going to do something with math. Not deep math. You know, string theory and all that. No interest. None whatsoever. Trigonometry, can't do it. Cannot visualize stuff, circles and squares coming together. Can't do it. I had the opportunity to cut angles on wood, not this weekend, but the weekend before. And yeah, the bottom piece had to be, or no, it was a piece that went across. So one angle was this way, and the other angle was either this way or that way, whatever way is right. Well, I could not figure out which way. So I took a stab at it. Cut it. Which way did I cut it? Wrong. Correct. Because I can't see it. I have to lay the wood up there, this angle, all right. Then I can cut it. And the guy I was working with was impatient. So he got the wood wrong both times. Just, you rush me, I'm not going to be able to do it. But God gives us these gifts, and he's going to let us use those. And then he's going to pay us for it. You say, well, no, my employer, it's God. He's going to pay you for it. And then he says, I want you to keep using those gifts. So I've used my gift of math, just adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing. I didn't have to get too deep. And I'm really good at it. And then I can analyze based on that math. I can tell you where a business will go. In most cases, I'm right. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you that's what I do. I can tell you I'm right. This is where it's going to go. And that's how I make my living. And God has done really great things with it. But there comes with it a cost. And the cost is give him glory. Use it for his cause. All right. Giving is a priority. No question. 2 Corinthians 8, 6 through 8. We covered that. Proverbs 11, 25. These are things, they're not negotiable. I lost my crayons already. So I told you I like to live in a box. And these verses that I'm talking about are my boundaries. Now, it doesn't have to be a box. It could be an octagon. It could be any kind of shape you want. But that's the boundaries. And these are the boundaries that we agreed on. I shall not spend all that I have. That's novel in America. Ecclesiastes 5:19, Proverbs 21:17. I will not spend it. I'm called a fool if I do. And in fact, fool, insane. That's interesting. God says you're a fool. Determine the plan based on needs, not wants. Philippians 3:11 through 12, 1 Timothy 6:8. I'm going to determine my needs. What do you need to live? Okay, let's see. All right, Alex, what do you need to live? Tell me one thing you absolutely must have, and don't say internet.
Water.
Water? Did you say water?
Yeah.
Okay, water. So there, food. All right, good. Liam, Ethan, I would have got it sooner or later. Your father named you backwards. L first, then E. It's always E, then L. All right, so what? Zach is last, Z. Ethan, what do you need to live? We already got food.
Housing.
So now we need housing and food to live. Isn't that pretty cool? If you focus on those first, then everything else is extra. What else? Where's another kid? Oh, right here. There's a bunch of them. We'll get the mod squad back there, the three mod squad. Between the three of them, they should be able to come up with one more need. What do you need?
Camouflage.
You need money. In this world, you need money, so you need to get a job. So let's put those in the priority box and say, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to live by these principles. Now, the big question is there a benefit to living under a spending plan developed by biblical principles? Now, if God has provided principles to live by, in this case, a spending plan, is there a benefit?
Absolutely.
Of course. If God says this is the way you ought to do something, and you do it that way, doesn't he provide a benefit in return?
Yes.
Of course he does. Otherwise, he wouldn't lay it out and say, you ought to do it this way. Yeah, you really ought to go this way. Because the other way is not so good. So yeah, there's always a benefit to obeying, submitting. There's always a benefit. You don't hear that often, do you? There's always a benefit. But I don't want to. I'm telling you, if you just follow these instructions, there's benefit. So what are some of those benefits? Well, one, I'll tell you right now, I'll give you a couple. Your priorities will change. That's a benefit. Our choices will be limited. It's a fantastic benefit. But I don't want to. Trust me, limiting choices, that's what we do with children every day. Every day. Limit the choices. Planning becomes second nature. It's a benefit to living under biblical principles with regard to a spending plan. It reduces anxiety. My wife went out shopping yesterday.
Amen.
Yes. I didn't go like this. I wonder what she's going to spend. Theoretically, there's a budget, right? No, there's a spending plan. I'm not going to fret when my wife goes out the door to shop. First off, I know she generally behaves herself. But we have a plan, and we submit to the plan. So when's the last time we fought about money, really, seriously? Do you remember? Really got into it? It was before we were under a spending plan. It encourages effective communication. Being under a spending plan encourages effective communication. I'm going to go into these. Lastly, not least, but the last one I'm going to talk about, because I've only given, a couple hours. It builds, never gets old, that one. They heard it last week, that's why, It builds your faith. So I want to talk about those benefits. Often when I talk to people, they're like, ugh, got a spending plan. And they don't see the benefit. That kid I was talking about, seeing no benefit coming to me, he was desperate. There's a difference. Most time when people come to me, it's like desperate. We're going bankrupt. I don't know what to do. Sometimes I tell you the truth, I can't prevent it. You're right, you are. You're going bankrupt. Yep. And if you stay with me, you're paying all those creditors. I don't care. I don't care who discharges it. You're paying them. So don't come back. Don't think you're getting out of it. It may take you 30 years, but you're paying them. You're paying those creditors back because you promised to pay them. We got to figure it out, but it's going to take a long time. All right. Our priorities change. As we're doing a spending plan, and of necessity, we must align our thinking with God's. We must put off, renew our minds, and put on Ephesians 4. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. That echoes back to Isaiah 55:8. That's kind of something you might want to highlight in your Bible. Because we don't think that. We don't think like God. So you got to stop and think like him. You say, well, I don't really. Yes, you can. Put on the mind of Christ, Philippians. Yes, you can. You're not going to understand everything. You just need to think first about what he thinks. In fact, when left to our own thinking, the results are disastrous. There is a way which seems right to a man. The ends thereof are the ways of death, right? Proverbs 14:12. As we examine our spending choices, it's likely we're going to have a convicting experience. Very likely you're going to find out you've been a fool. I've been there. Don't think for a moment I haven't gone through this. Stupid purchases. Remember the camera we got because we bought the 8x10 pictures? You don't remember that? Yeah. We were sucked into one of those. Yeah. It was a lot of money when we did it, and we got a camera out of it. What's that?
The boat.
Never buy a boat. All right, so, for example, I've sat down with people, and they say to me, we can't give money to anybody, not 5%, not even 5%. I've gone as low as 1%. That's to anybody. Can't give it away. Can't give it to the church. So let's say the person is paid $1,000 a week, every 2 weeks. That's a lot, very little. But it's the example I have here, so I must use it. So 5% of 1,000 is, survey says, 5% times 1,000. Hold. Back rowers, 1,000 times 5%. Thank you, $50. I cannot give $50 to anybody anytime ever in a year. That's what I'm talking about. It's a year. Can you do 50 per year? They can't do it ever. Okay, all right. One cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee in today's market is $2.25 with tax. Not Casey's. Not your special latte nonsense. I'm talking about a cup of coffee. Normal people drink.
Because they don't charge him for the sugar.
You got to know where you get your perks, see? I don't want the coffee. I want the cream and sugar. All right. So it's $2.25. 5 days a week times 2 weeks, 10 days, $22.50. One Connie's Classic, I looked it up, for breakfast, is $9 with tip and coffee. Their coffee's cheaper. That's $90 every 2 weeks. A 38-ounce bag of plain M&Ms is $13 with tax. Today's world. Now, I just gave you three examples that could be cut from this person's budget, real budget. I gave the $1,000 to disguise it, that they could have cut to get $50 to give every 2 weeks. They did exactly what I just seen one of you do. Really? Yep. I got right in it because I found out they were getting Dunkin' Donuts every day. That's okay. I'm fine with that. I get cafe coffee every day that she's open because she's closed Mondays.
The day you need it the most.
Very sinful. So, $22. I know that he ate at Connie's Diner. $9. Every morning, 10 days. They're closed Mondays, too. So, but the point is, and they're M&Ms. You know how I caught that?
Receipts.
They didn't have receipts when they started with me. They got in the habit of bringing me grocery receipts. Every single one. Now, some people don't take me serious when I sit down with them and tell them this. They don't last long. If you don't show me where every penny goes, we're going to keep diving until we do. I give them time for this because it's a, think about it. Do you get a receipt for everything? No. You do if you come to me because I want to know. If you're in that much trouble, well, where's the money going? I don't know. That's the answer because I'll ask them, where'd the money go? I don't know. No kidding. So get out your Discover card. There's one guy, and Roger said I could share this. Roger had, I don't even know how many credit cards. I said, you're going to pay those off. And we did a plan. And I said, every time you do, you're going to cut the card up and you're going to give it to me every single time. And he moved away and he mailed me credit cards cut up. So he was very serious. He really wanted to do it. So I got cut up credit cards. So this idea you can't give is buried in your numbers. And the answer is wrong. Everybody, every single person, every family in this room can afford to give. It's a requirement. We put the boundaries up. Remember, giving is a priority. Now, it's rough at first, but it does get easier. And if you've sat with me, you've done the heart chart. And it's a favorite because it's so relevant always, every single day. We'll never, never finish. So the heart, very simple. This is where the intents are. That there's a decision point right here. And the question is, will you live by feelings or will you live by principles? So principles or feelings. If you live by principles, at this point when you start, it is hard. Because we're unprincipled. We are sinners. Even if you're saved, you're still a sinner. And when you first start out, it's hard. Ask anyone that's given up cigarettes. Hard. But it gets easy. So much so that you don't even pay attention. And then when you do that, God is on the throne. The other side is easy when you start out, but it gets very hard and self is on the throne. I would develop that further, but it takes a long time. But you get the idea? Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. We read this stuff, do we believe it? Psalm 37, 3 through 5. It is God which works with you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do we buy that? Philippians 2, 13. God works in us, and if we yield to him, he works in us. And he gets it accomplished. My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall be added to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. Memorize. So you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Proverbs 3, 1 through 4. You see, God wants us on this path, principled living. We're unprincipled. It's going to be hard. But over time, it gets easy. Somebody asked me once recently, what is your mortgage payment? I don't know. I know, but I don't know. It's in the fixed category in a separate account that I don't touch. I don't even look at it. I just reconcile. So I had to look it up because I don't know. I care, but it's fixed. It's done. I've made the decision. I'm living under it. I made the decision to live in the house I'm living in. Good or bad, it's done. Now I must pay for it. That's the way I look at it. It's been fine. And there it sits. So I had to look it up. All my fixed expenses. I don't. I know, but I don't sit there and look at it. I live under this principle. I do. I really do. Do I stray off it? Occasionally. I bought the truck. No, the truck, the orange one. Not another one, the orange one that I bought. She's like, oh.
She was leaping out of that chair right there.
I looked, but I didn't buy. But the first one I bought, we were fine, but it wasn't quite principal living. The alternative, the way of the transgressor is hard. Proverbs 13:15. We're transgressors when we don't have a spending plan. Period. You cannot convince me otherwise, because the Word of God is absolutely replete with, you better have a spending plan. There's no verse like that, but when you build the principles, you see it. So our priorities will change. Because every single person that sat through successfully and built a spending plan with me or my associates, every single one without fail has changed their priorities. Every single one. Every time. It changes priorities. The ho-hos are not as important as sticking to that plan. It just changes. Our choices are limited. Hallelujah. My choices financially are essentially unlimited without a spending plan. Because I have no idea what I'm doing. You're like giving a drunk a set of keys. They're going to drive, but it's going to be all over the place, and they're going to cause pain. The obvious fact is that there's only so much money given to us. That's it. I suppose our choices are limited always as such. However, when applying biblical principles to the spending plan, our choices are radically reduced. One of our principles is that we will not spend everything we have. You can't spend it all. You should not spend it all. Now, I've sat with families, they've spent it all, and it's spent not too badly, but there's room. There's always room, and it's usually in taxes, because we don't get taught taxes. You got to learn taxes. It's too complicated. No, it's not. They made it for a fifth grader, the front page and the second page. After that, it's not for fifth graders. I agree. But the first couple pages are pretty easy. You only need to know gross income, W-2, interest income, dividend income, you don't have it. Then the rest of the stuff, you don't have. Standard deduction, you have it. It's a number. Look it up. That is your taxable income. Now you get to subtract if you have an HSA or $600 to charitable. So you got that. Then after that, tax. How hard is that? All right, back to this. One of our principles, all right, so not spending. Perhaps we start the budgeting process. All right, let me ask, I got to ask somebody in the back row because they're asleep. All right, Meissen. I say spending plan, you know your income. What's the first expense? Go.
Well, taxes.
All right, taxes. All right. Kathy, now you've got your spending plan, you know how much you make, you know the taxes. What's the next expense? Quick.
Tithe.
Andy, no, Sarah. Sarah, you have the money that you made, you know what it is, you paid your taxes, you paid out the tithe. What's next? Quick.
Housing.
What is it?
Housing.
Fantastic. Parents, forgot your first names. Doesn't matter. You've been here only a couple years. It takes time. Plus, you only visit, so that really wipes it out. Income.
I have to answer.
Dancer?
No, he doesn't have the answer.
Oh, you don't? You have the answer. You know what you make. You subtract out your expenses. No, your taxes. You know your tithe. You now got your house covered. What's the next thing?
Food.
Very good. Very good. All right. Alex's parents. That's how I remember you. Helen Hunt's relatives. See, I got it. Just don't know your names. Helen Camp. I've called her Hunt. She's the one in Twister. Right. Hey, good news. Twister 2 is coming out. All right. Alex's kids, parents. You know your income. You got your taxes. You got the tithe. You know your housing. You got your food. What's next? Energy bills covered in housing. Car. Well, do you have gas? Not gas, but gasoline. Odd question to ask. I'm not your gastroenterologist. Just saying. All right. Transportation. All right. You follow it? You're all wrong. Okay. The first thing you did in a budget, gross income, 401k, retirement. Okay. Now, along those lines, savings. That's what I want you to think about. You're all entitled. You're all entitlement minded. I got to have my food. I got to have this. I got to have that. Right? Yeah, you got to live. I want you to get down to what you can spend, so I'm going to make you think savings. So I want you to put money aside for savings. Maybe that's where we ought to start, so we get out of the entitlement minded. Gross pay, got all the taxes out because you don't have a choice. 401k, so you're planning for the future. And now savings, planning for the future. You got to have savings. So I'm going to start you there. Why? I want to limit your choices. That's what this is about. It's about destroying the flesh. I want you to stop thinking about yourself in the light that you've done in the past. I want you to set aside money for savings, car maintenance, new appliances, teeth. These things are going to come, right? You've got to save money. So I want you to do that first. Maybe if we did this, the starting point would be much smaller, and it would. And now my choices are limited, much more than they were when I first started. One of the biblical principles which we could add is the borrower is servant to the lender. Proverbs 22:7. With respect to borrowing, I want to define it. There's borrowing and there's debt. I want to say that debt is the money borrowed without collateral. This way, it's very simple. In today's economy, it's very difficult, unless you're a Mennonite, to buy a house with cash. Just the way you guys are. I don't mind. I love it. Because they start working their children when they're five. And that's okay. I'm fine with that. I grew up on or near a dairy farm. And they work. And you put money aside. That's good. Because that's what you should do if you can. We don't think like that, the rest of us. And we buy with a mortgage. And I'm okay with that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in banking. I had to come to terms with that. Is that legitimate? And I believe that it is. A car, reasonable car. Again, not to pick on the Mennonites, but here's the thing. They buy with cash because they're buying the cars that I trade in after that next person trades it in. And it's okay. You know, it's a tool. I get it. Our credit entitled mentality has reached beyond our ability to pay. The average American spends 110% of what they make. How's that possible? It's not. That's why bankruptcies are going up. You want to go, here it is. You want to go on a cruise? You want to get that new TV? No problem. Make monthly payments. Let's go back to our example of giving. I cannot possibly give $50 every 2 weeks. I can't do it. Okay. That same person goes out and buys that new screen, big screen TV, and takes a cruise. Now they're $3,500 in debt. On a credit card. Fabulous idea. But I got a Walmart card, 0% for a year. You just keep adding to it, right? How much is that minimum payment on $3,500? Survey says 50 bucks, 3%. On average, $100. It's every 2 weeks, 50. Isn't that funny? By the way, that is a real life example where I was told that I cannot possibly give. He said, you're giving to Walmart every month for something that you got. Do you still have it, by the way? Because most times they don't. So that's the point. If we're successful at establishing a spending plan governed by biblical principles, we will find that our choices are automatically limited. We aren't going to have to think about options that are outside the plan. We don't even think about a credit card because it's not in the plan, except to pay them off. I don't even think about it. I love when I hear, we only use it for emergencies. That's because you didn't have a spending plan. If you had a spending plan, you could pay for that. Now, is there exceptions? Always. I've run into it. Listen, I understand. It happens. The teeth come out when a softball hits it. You got to put them back. That's not cheap. I've been there. I know. Raquel. The coder. Eats rocks. Got to have a zipper installed so he can take the rocks out. I get it. But we're not going to put it in the plan that way. We're going to plan for savings. And it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. There's no way around it. 5 to 10% of your pay, maybe even 15, is going to go to savings. Because we're going to save for the car maintenance. We're going to save for the refrigerator. We're going to save for all these things. So we're going to forego purchases that we can't make. They're not in the plan. Now, for your endurance, you're not going to get a lot. But for your endurance today, I do have Junior's cheesecake in the back. Not anymore. Harry found it. So you can have a slice of that. Junior's is pretty good. All right. Planning becomes second nature. Now, which of you would go about building a house without first having the cost estimated so that you can determine whether you can pay for it? Otherwise, after you got it started, putting in the foundation, you're unable to finish it. And you become the laughingstock of the neighborhood. Well, that's an example in Luke 14, 28 through 29. It's paraphrased, but that's essentially what he says. Jesus says, hey, what are you thinking there? Huh? Don't you think you ought to have a plan? Interesting that we have this exact example in Scripture, but we don't formally do a spending plan for anything. Nothing. You know what my sister's spending plan was? We're going to go on vacation every year. And it's at Kingdom Bound. Because they got to see Toby Mac. That's what it's all about. So how do they... How do you prepare for that? Well, that's the only thing she had in a spending plan. She keeps the change, puts it in a jar. And that's the spending plan. Oh, well, how much do you put aside? Whatever change I get. What if there's not enough? Well, then we just go anyway. Great spending plan. So many of us just roll along trying to make ends meet. What? Are we children of the King?
Yes.
Do we need to roll along and just make it? Absolutely not. And you say, well, we've been doing it for years. I would beg to differ with you. You've just been sinning all these years. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you you're going to be prosperous beyond measure. Your desires are going to change. Your spending plan will dictate what you can do and what you can't do. And in time, it changes what you want to do. I'm telling you this works. And you will be much happier, if that's the term. Joyful is the right term. It works. Every time. I have never, ever seen a failure in this, except where the plan is not established, not tracked, and not used. Never. Never seen it. Never. Bold, aren't I? Every debt paid. Everything satisfied. It never, 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 never fails. Never. But you're not going to have all the bonbons you want. Planning becomes second nature. Once you go through the process of building a spending plan and implementing it and tracking it, there's no going back. There's no going back. It just can't do it. I can't do it. As a matter of fact, I like to look at it, what's left, to see if it's more than what I expected. And it is. And then we build another habitat house. That's how it works. Just do it. Why? Because I enjoy it. I enjoy doing that. I enjoy spending less on my kids. I don't like them that much. No, this is where the rubber meets the road. Now we're making an exception for Peter and Josh. Right now. But this is the thing. We just love doing it. To do this, we need to take on a few verses that help us to remember what we're trying to accomplish. You've got the principles, but there's others that you might take up. That means you have them on the walls. You have them in the mirror, in the bathroom. You have them where you are, in your car, on your dashboard, wherever it's going to be, where you see it until it's drilled in your head. For encouragement, I'll give you an example. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You've heard this verse, right? But mighty through God, and we're pulling down, what are we pulling down? Strongholds. This is a stronghold. I can't stop spending. That's true. But this isn't your battle. Trust God, and you'll pull that stronghold down. Casting down imaginations of every high thing that exalts itself above God. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You say, well, what does that got to me? What this does? What's your thought when I'm going to buy this? Yeah. I don't always obey that thought, you know, or I obey God on it. But more times than not, I bring that captive. And I'm not going to do this. I refuse. No. That's 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 5. Maybe in that same chapter, 2 Corinthians 10, great chapter, 12b, they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. That's a really good verse for budgeting. Because what are you looking at? Who are you comparing yourself to? Nobody likes to hear that. I'm comparing myself to the kids that have cell phones and I don't have one. Wah, oh, dear. My children did that. Don't care. They still bring it up. Don't care. And you, where are you now? You're fine, aren't you? You made it. You made it through high school without a cell phone. Oh, my dear. I made it through high school with zero phones anywhere. If I had to have the phone, I was in the kitchen attached to it because there's a long cord. And that's where I could go. Privacy, zero, because our kitchen was in a bar. And the bar was next to the kitchen. Do you get the drift? So and the phone was on the outside wall in the bar because my mother was too cheap to put it in the kitchen. That's where my conversations were. It's just what it was. Crazy stuff. But here's the thing. You don't need what everybody else has. You're just comparing yourselves to them, and it's not wise. Remember these verses. Why do we do this? It's unnecessary. As you do this, you will find yourself pushing to consider the spending plan and looking for ways to achieve the goal. As we apply biblical principles to our finances, you will find yourself doing the same in other areas of your life. Everything changes. You're going to find, this is working. But I noticed, while I'm doing this, I need to work on this. It's true. It's not about finances. It's about flesh, sin. Reduces anxiety. When with planning comes confidence. As you go through the historical spending pattern that you would do in my office, you'll identify problem areas. Most of the time, it's leakage. You don't know where it's going. You're just buying stuff. You have no idea what's in that grocery cart. What are you, crazy? How many ice creams do you need? I don't want to hear from the Grazianos. You don't need all that ice cream. You don't have the money for it. You only get ice cream because your parents buy it. No. That's soon, too.
Not anymore.
I know. I've seen the plate.
They buy their own.
That's right.
Go get it.
Then you work on those areas that you've identified. As you work out bad financial habits, you're freed, believe it or not, from the lust of the flesh. It's freeing. And likely from debt, a chief cause of anxiety. There's nothing worse. I understand. We were in debt up to our, when I got out of college. We just were. It's just dumb. Was it needed? There was a way around it. If I had done a spending plan, I didn't. In the military, not a penny. Don't know where it went. Gone. Got married, gone. All of it. Every penny, gone. Bye-bye. Great spending plan. So I've been there. We've gone through this. Then as you continue to follow your plan, you'll find you're not comparing yourself to others. You're comparing to your spending plan based on biblical principles. You're, in essence, comparing it to God's design. How am I doing? That's the shortfall. I'm doing great, but I can do more. That's what you start doing. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some covet after that, they have erred from the faith. Isn't that interesting? Love money, erring from the faith. And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 1 Timothy 6:10. You'll have control of your money and not your money having control over you. We put into practice of seeking those things which are above and not those things here, Colossians 3:1. Bill paying will be automatic. No more searching for those nickels. If I've provided $30 for snacks at work, I spend $30 for snack at work. But when I do that, I now try to cheat that and keep 10. And I want to see if I can roll it. I have a little elf bag in my office. I made it when I was a kid from deer skin. I don't know why I had deer skin, because I do not hunt. It was from one of the hide mills in Gloversville. So I made it, and it's a cinch bag with money in it. And I would take my money that my wife gave me for my snacks, and I would spend less on it, and I would put it in the elf bag. And then at the end of so many months, I would look in the elf bag and see what I had left. Change, dollars. I would have hundreds of dollars in my elf bag, unaccounted for money. I followed the spending plan, except I didn't eat it all. And then I had money left over. So then I could buy ho-hos. You see, that's the kind of stuff I did. And it was it was just cool to have the elf bag full of money. I still have the elf bag, and I still shove money in it. It's just a thing I do. I don't know. You just got to have an elf bag. Right? I don't have any anxiety. None. We've come into crisis in our family occasionally. Absolute money crisis. What do? One time, I screwed up the taxes. Here I am telling everybody, taxes. I got a really big adjustment that I found in my tax return. Woo! It was a lot of money. We had to write that check and pay it. April 15th, it came around, and that went by mail because I wanted it to last a little longer. It was bad. Then I had to adjust our withholding because I adjusted my withholding to reflect this stupidness that I did back a year before. So the next year, April, it's already April 15th, I haven't withheld enough. So now I got to catch up. Oy. There was a spending plan modification that year. But that's what you do. That's what you do. It was what I did. I was foolish. Went back to the spending plan. Little anxiety, I got to admit, but we did it. Okay, we can do this. We'll figure out. We'll just get it. Don't worry about it. We'll do it. God is faithful. We didn't lose a car. We didn't lose a house. Wish I'd lost a boat. We didn't. Encourages effective communication. And one of the major causes of divorce is money. Both having too much or too little. Isn't that funny? What's those two rich people? The ones that just got divorced. Bezos. He invented something. Amazon. Bill Gates. Microsoft. These are the wealthiest people on the planet. Divorced. Why do they get divorced? Too much. Too much. Can't handle it. The discontentment is due to envy and a desire to spend as one pleases. My wife makes money, I want her money. I make money, my wife wants my money. That's how people think. In our house, it's our money. Sue didn't even know what she made. Never looked at it. We had to fix that because she got paid too little. They actually paid her less than minimum wage. Isn't that crazy? They made it up. But we it's a pool. And then we spend it according to the spending plan. It's this capturing and suppressing our feelings regarding money that is crucial when putting together a spending plan. And it's done exactly that way, by developing a spending plan. The matter of money should not be emotional. It should not cause tears. It's a gift. It's something we must steward. That's what it is. As you go through the process of using biblical principles to develop a spending plan, you'll find that it's essential to talk to the other person, which is your spouse. If you're alone, it's kind of, crazy if you're sitting there talking to yourself. But I've done that. It's not his or hers, it's ours. In the planning, the priorities are established based on biblical principles. Disagreements, you will find, require that you pull out the four rules of communication: speak the truth, keep current, attack the problem, not the person, act, don't react, Ephesians 4. Because you're going to need to have that conversation. Then all the characters need to be held accountable to the plan. Everybody involved. Husband, wife, work out the details. Children, get to be a part of it. You're held accountable. You wore your school clothes out to paint whatever you were painting, something you probably shouldn't have been painting, Derek. And now those school clothes are covered with paint. You know what my mother did?
Made you wash them?
It wouldn't wash out. Now what? I went to school with those clothes because those were my school clothes. And she wasn't spending another nickel. My daughter had a Walmart coat. And that's what you're wearing. It's not this or that. It's a Walmart coat. I know. Too bad. It's what we had, and you wore it. Then for a while, it was punishment, and you wear it. It's one of those things. Keep a Walmart coat for your kids, and then when they misbehave, make them wear the Walmart coat. And you say, well, that's what we wear. I'm fine with that. Get something that's less. There are less. Get them something from the 40s in a clothing store, and if you keep screwing around, you're wearing that. I'll tell you what, kids toe the line pretty well. You can't wear that nice flannel. I don't know what you'd wear. What's the punishment? You'd have to wear a tie. That's what they would have to do. Because I know that would drive them crazy. So here's the thing. Priorities are established. Disagreements are handled biblically. Everyone follows the plan. No one gets a blank check. Purchases not provided for in the plan need to be vetted. So if it's not in the plan, you have to sit down. You have to talk. Communication effective. Pretty straightforward stuff, isn't it? Builds our faith. Lastly, as we honor God with biblical principles around our finances, we will see God's hand in our life. When's the last time that you could sit down right now that you could write, I see God's life, God's hand in my life, and this is how? It's a challenge. Things just have a way of working out. Now, I'm going to say that, but then I'm going to back it up. Not really how it works. In reality, what I see is Romans 8:28 in play. All things work together for good to them that love God. How do you love God? I obey His commandments. His principles. I do have do's and don'ts. It's on my board. That's what I do. And then God works it out. Is it my responsibility? My wife has a horrible accident. She's got to get a leg set, whatever. Is it my responsibility? Yes. But whose ultimate responsibility is it? God. We got to pay for that. Now, is God going to take care of that or isn't He? He's going to take care of it. How's He going to take care of it? I don't know. I have no idea. It's not my spending plan, so I got to go back to my spending plan. I guess Casey's going to have to find another source of revenue. Habitat might get shaved. You know, there's things that I can do, and that's what's going to have to happen because I kind of want her to have her leg set. But God works together, everything, for good. To those that have a biblical plan for their finances. I think I can appropriate that verse for that. Now, no, many focus on that verse, Romans 8:28. Everything's working out for the good, but it's the following verse that tells us what's really happening. We are being conformed to the image of Christ. So yeah, everything's working out for good, but in the bottom line is, we're being conformed to the image of Christ through our biblical plan, because that's what Christ did. He always did those things which were pleasing to God. That's what this is all about, being conformed to the image of Christ. It's not that there will be some magical income realized, though that might happen. You might get something you didn't expect. Yeah, it happens. Yep. Never happens to me, but it happens. Why didn't it happen to me? Because I guess I didn't need it. We'll go wrong. I guess my faith wasn't big enough. No, God took care of everything so far. It seems like I'm doing all right. He took care of it. And I didn't need that. Some do. All right. It's God's prerogative. I don't care how He provides. He's going to provide. Or He has already provided in most cases. He will meet the need and then some. However, we will need to develop patience, contentment, thankfulness. Does this sound familiar? It should. Add to your faith virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, charity. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. We can't measure the faithfulness of God by the outcomes of our lives. God proves his faithfulness through the situations we find ourselves in. I don't know who said that, but somebody did. That's how it works. When you develop biblical principles around your finances, I absolutely promise that God will follow through. It's in these mundane things that we find a great God who will take us to new heights. And he will achieve the goal, which is conforming us to the image of his son. And in that, there's great reward. So I hope you think about it. If you don't have a plan, you ought to. If you need help getting one, I know a guy. It takes forever. And I've got examples. You want to see it. It works. It's math. It's nothing more. And I know I'm talking to some that have, wow, we're barely making ends meet. I understand. I have been there. We raised four kids. We bought a house probably when we shouldn't have. We've done it all. First purchase, new car. Maybe not the best thing. We did it anyway. Well, it was actually a used car. But it was, we've done this. And we can help. And you just got to pace, figure it out. It'll be fine. God will do this. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you so much for the time that we had together. We pray that you'd help us to think about biblical principles in finances. And it'll lead to everything else in our lives. That's what you've done. You've established biblical principles to live by. And as a result of that, you will work everything out for our good. And truly, you're working to conform us to the image of Christ. And that is the ultimate. So we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be obedient in this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.